to give a warm welcome to Pastor Tom Walters. Thank you, guys.
Well, I bring you greetings from warm and sunny Pennsylvania. Yeah. Forgive me, Father. Actually, when we left Pennsylvania, there was snow, of course, everywhere. And right after we had gone, I think it was, the following day, that they got another blizzard that blew in. And I said, well, I'll just have to be down here in the South suffering for Jesus. Hallelujah. Suffering for Jesus. So it is good to be with you. It's always a delight to be here with you. When we're making our trek down to Florida, we're going down to spend a few days with my mom and dad, who are in Fort Myers, or right outside of Fort Myers there in Florida. And so we're looking forward to that. But it's always good to get back home, regardless of the weather. Always good to be back with people that you've grown with, and they've grown with you. You've grown with them. And I know we had last week, it was a real toss-up on whether we were even going to have church or not. And it's so difficult to cancel church on a Sunday morning, simply because, you know, you're always going to have the fanatic show up. Okay, which is wonderful and absolutely glorious. And sure enough, we had a number of people, even though we went ahead and had service, we had a number of people show up, and it was a wonderful, wonderful time. And then here again for this past Sunday, the contemplation of possibly canceling. What should we do? You know, the wind's blowing, the rain, and now is freezing, and it quit snowing, and now it's freezing rain. So it's just a glorious time in Pennsylvania. So I'm going to ask you to stand with me, if you would, as we break open God's Word this morning. I pray in Jesus' name that what I have to share with you will sink deep into your hearts. I don't want to be here in any way to entertain you. And I mean that totally respectfully. Coming over, I'm thinking, Lord, why do we go to church? Why are we here? Why do we do this? If we're not relevant, if we're not making a difference, let's stay home Sunday morning. Really. I mean, who needs to just come for another meeting? Who needs to come and play church? Who needs to come and just feel good and then just go on our merry way and life is que sera, sera? I really believe that we need to come to church in order that our lives can change, that we can be more empowered with the anointing of the Spirit of God, that we can go out and begin and continue to reach people for Jesus, hurting people all around us. Many of our family members are hurting people, and we need to have that insight, that understanding, to go forth filled with the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit to help them in a time that's, well, we've seen better days. I'm sure perhaps we've maybe have seen worse, but we've certainly seen better. And so we're in troubling times, difficult times, and a lot of people, they don't know what to do with their lives. They don't know which way to turn. They're losing hope. And so we, as the church, we must have the answer. If we don't, we're wasting our time, absolutely wasting our time. So we're praying, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, that the Spirit of God truly indeed would grant us the insight, the understanding that we need this morning, my Father. Let the holy anointing of God take the Word of God, break it open, that we might taste and see that the Lord is good. That the Lord is good. Your Word, O God, has the strength and the power to change us. I don't want to be the same person that I was when I walked in this building as when I walk out. I want to be changed more for the glory of God. Father, in Jesus' name, we want to be in your presence in this moment, in this time, as we feed in your Word. So teach us, Holy Spirit, you are the teacher. And we embrace your heart's desire. feed us this morning in the precious, glorious name of Jesus, our wonderful Lord and Savior. We take dominion over the forces of hell that would want to consume and destroy, that would want to rob the seed of the Word of God out of our lives. Take dominion over that. We declare that our hearts are open for an impartation. Our hearts are open for the planting of the seed of the Word of God, that it would bring forth 30, 60, and 100-fold fruit in our lives. And we give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor in Jesus' wonderful, wonderful name. If you're in agreement with that, say amen. Amen. And amen. God bless you and thank you so much. I have somewhat of a long text to read to you this morning, and I wasn't going to do that. And then I just sensed the Holy Spirit saying, no, read it, because it's important that we feed mostly in the Word of God. It's not so much of what I have to say, it's what He has to say. And so if we can convey the truth of God's Word through the Word of God, we're accomplishing something. It's a very familiar portion of Scripture, Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 through 34. Jesus said this, I'm reading from the New King James Version, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. How many times have we read this? But do we get it? Do we get it? Who in here hasn't worried about their life? Who in here hasn't worried perhaps today about their life? And yet Jesus is telling us, take no thought. Don't worry about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they are? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What shall we wear? How shall we survive? How are we going to make it? For after all these things the Gentiles or the unbelievers seek, for your heavenly Father, that is such an intimate word, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Here's the key, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But instead of worrying, fretting, fearing about all these things in life, all the issues that life bring you, instead of being so consumed about them, Jesus gives us the answer in verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now I took Matthew chapter 6 verses 33 and 34 from the Message Bible. I don't know if you're familiar with that. But listen to this out of the Message Bible. Steep your life in God reality. I brought my sniffles with me too from Pennsylvania. So you guys don't get sniffles down here, do you? No. Good. Then I'll leave here totally complete. No more sniffles, okay? Steep your life in God reality. I mean, there are so many reality TV shows that people are consumed by. But Jesus is saying here in the Message translation, steep your life in what is reality to God, not the world, to God. God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out on something. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. Right now. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. Wouldn't it be absolutely wonderful to live in this place called the kingdom of God? Think about that. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 14 that the kingdom of God is not an issue or a matter of meat and drink, but of righteousness and peace and joy. Living in a state where you realize that you are the righteousness of Jesus Christ. What an incredible thought. And yet so many of us in our Christianity continue to spin our wheels, endeavoring, even though we believe we're saved, endeavoring to gain the favor of God by the things that we do. That's simply self-righteousness is what that is. Jesus is saying that we need to live in a state, in a place, a frame of mind where we worry about nothing. We fret about nothing. Well, it's easier said than done. Absolutely, easier said than done. Because we're all tempted to give ourselves over to worry. And yet, Jesus is saying, don't worry about everyday life. The things that you need to sustain your life. Well, what does that mean? We just find ourselves a cave and move in and forget life? No. No, you go on with life under the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit, but you're not consumed with worry about the things or the reports that come your way. The company's closing down. That's all right. God will open up another door for another company. How are we going to meet the electric bill? How are we going to meet the fuel bill? How are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? Take no thought for these things. Because if your entire attention is focused on the things of God, God will, if need be, miraculously bring them into your life. Because you are seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All other things will be added unto you. Don't worry about what you eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink. Don't worry about what you're going to be clothed with. In fact, Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, get this. Paul says, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. Again, in the Message Bible, it says it this way. Don't fret or worry about anything. Instead of worrying, pray. Pray. There's an answer. There's a direction. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers. Letting God know your concerns before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness. Everything coming together for good will come and settle you down. Will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. This scripture tells me, and these are things we don't necessarily like to hear, but this scripture, these verses tell me that worry, fretting, despair, anxiety, these things are all choices that we make. They're choices. You see, when a situation comes your way, you have a choice. You're either going to cast all your care upon the Lord. I refuse to get caught up in worry, fretting, fearing over this because I can't change a thing about it. I'm going to find my peace in God. He'll take care of it. He's big enough. He's big enough to take care of it. And in doing that, here's what you're doing. You are actually stepping into the realm of the kingdom of God. You're stepping into that realm of the rest of God. In fact, the author of Hebrews tells us, labor to enter into that rest. In other words, yes, it may be a struggle. Yes, it means denying yourself. Yes, it means taking up your cross. But it will lead you to a place of peace. Isn't the world actually looking, normal people, aren't they actually looking for peace? They want peace of mind. And so therefore, we have a choice on whether we're going to choose faith and believe God, which will lead us to life, the God kind of life, or we can worry and fret and fear, and that will lead us to a realm or a lifestyle of death. In fact, let me make a radical statement, certainly not desiring to offend anyone by any means. But whether it be you or whether it be me, if I'm worried about anything, it means I'm not trusting God. It means I'm not trusting God. There was a time in my life, in days like today up in Pennsylvania, and days, Sundays like last Sunday, where our attendance drops drastically because people just don't want to come out when it's 0-degree weather and the wind's blowing and snow is drifting. And there was a day in my life where I looked at this and thought, how in the world are we going to make the bills? How are we going to make the bills? We need approximately, to run our ministry, approximately $30,000 a week to run our ministry. Okay? Now that may seem a lot to you. It's a lot to me. There's no doubt about that. But on the other hand, there's ministries that just need hundreds of thousands of dollars to exist every week. We need about $30,000 to exist. And when the congregation is down, the offering is down. And I would find myself looking at this and saying, oh. And I thought, I'm not changing a thing. God will take care of it. If God has ordained us, He will provide for us. Amen. It will be taken care of. And it always has been. It always has been. Or I can worry, fret, fear, turn my hair grayer than what it is. Or I can say, Lord, it's in your hands. I'm not going to worry about it. There's a scripture that's very familiar to us in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. It says, you will keep him or her in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts or she trusts in you. I'm going to take a few moments and dissect that verse, and hopefully it'll give you some insight on how you can mature to a greater level, a greater degree in the things of God. Because worry will strip you of the blessings of God. Fear will strip you of the blessings of God. And you can continue to just move on in that frame of mind and watch your life decay and fall apart. Or you can allow the realms and the power of faith to overtake you where you're trusting God and watch God just begin to multiply. His desire is to bless, never to destroy, never to consume. His desire is to bless His children. But there's things that we have to do, steps that we have to take in order to activate these principles of God's word. You, Lord, will keep him or her in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. The first thing that we see is a direct reflection or drawing our attention to the Lord. You indicating the Lord. Now, there's many things endeavoring to draw our attention today. I did a little experiment a few Sundays ago. And I was thinking about all the commercials that are on television. I mean, we're not talking about a 30-second commercial or a one-minute commercial. I'm talking about infomercials that last for about a half an hour. And it was on a Sunday morning, and I just sensed, go to the TV and see how many infomercials are on Sunday morning. And I went through about 50 channels. Just, we guys were masters at the remote control. We have mastered it. Okay, and I ran through 50 channels. Out of 50 channels, we're approximately 50. 25 of those channels were infomercials. half of them, people saying, if you only get the Wonder Mop, your life is going to be changed forever. If you only get this exercise program, you too can look like this guy or this gal in 6 weeks, and you know they're lying to you. There's no way you're going to look like that in 6 weeks. I mean, they're endeavoring to sell you ladders and pain relievers and cooking devices, knife sets, yard trimmers, wood splitters, vitamins, hearing aids, spray sealers, car mats. It goes on and on and on. And every one of these products and the people that are selling them are telling you that if you only give your attention, your focus, if you will only invite this product into your life, I'm telling you, your life's going to be changed. But we know that's not true. Only God Almighty and a life surrendered to Him can truly change our lives. Every one of these things that I've mentioned, wear out, grow old, break, decay, fall apart. We get tired of them, put them on the shelf, throw them away. It's the Lord that must be our focus, our attention, where so many things are pulling at us left and right, endeavoring to draw us into their world. You, Lord, must be my focus. And if that's the case, you will keep me. Now, those words in the Hebrew are very interesting. Will keep. In the Hebrew language, they mean preserve, protect, maintain, watch over. So, Lord, if I am focused upon you, you will watch over, maintain, you will protect, you will preserve, you will keep me in what? In perfect peace. Perfect peace is one Hebrew word, shalom, and it means far more than peace, baby. We think of shalom, peace, peace. But it means so much more than that. Here's what it means in the Hebrew language. Shalom means well-being, prosperity, health, rest. You can even be happy. It means to be happy. And for some of us, it even goes further. Friendly. That's what shalom means. So, if my focus is on the Lord, get this. If my focus is on the Lord, then He will protect, watch over, and keep me in prosperity, health, rest. I will be happy, and even my disposition will change. I'll be friendly. But I got to keep my focus upon the Lord. But it goes deeper than that, even deeper. Here's what I must do. Not only focus upon the Lord, I must keep my mind. Now, this is where it really kicks into high gear. I must keep my mind centered upon the Lord. Okay? Now, the mind is a reference to the soul. You are a tripart being. You are body, soul, and spirit. When you're born again, the Holy Spirit now comes and makes abode. This is mind-blowing if you really think about it. The Spirit of the living God makes His abode in my born-again spirit. Okay? So if you are a born-again believer, listen to this. You possess the Spirit of the living God. How does He do that? I don't know. But I know He does. Because Paul tells us, if you do not possess the Spirit of God, you are none of His. So we possess as believers the Spirit of God in our born-again spirit. But here's what has to happen. That has to work. That influence of the Spirit of God uses now what we're feeding into our minds, the Word of God. Or As the World Turns, or Dancing with Stars. Whatever is there, our mind is now endeavoring to build our world around that. If it's the Word of God, then our world is going to be controlled by the Word. If it's everything else in the world, worry and fretting and fearing and all the things that we see also on TV that we're feeding into our soul and into our mind. And when troublesome times come, and they will come, you can't quote the latest soap opera and make the enemy think that he's going to flee or run from that. No, it's the Word of God that is now being quickened out of your spirit man and now causes your body to react. So the soul is such a center part of everything that's happening in your life. The soul will decide on whether you are a spirit being or you are a carnal or fleshly or worldly being. The soul will decide that. But as a believer, you possess the potential through the Holy Spirit to now influence that soul as you're feeding that soul the Word of God, the promises of God, the truths of God. You're feeding that soul. So now the Spirit of God within you activates that Word within the soul. And your words come in line with the Word of God. Your actions come in line with the Word of God. And as they do, the power of God begins to be demonstrated in your life. It works. It works. I know I'm not where I need to be or where I should be. I have not completed my course, but I know this. I'm certainly a lot further along than what I was 5 years ago. A lot further along. My understanding now to a greater degree than what it was 5 years ago. So what are you feeding into that soul that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him? And how do you do that? Feeding with the Word of God. So the mind is a reflection upon the soul. Your soul is made up of emotions, will, and intellect. That's what your soul is made up of. Now this word in the Hebrew actually means this, and this is powerful. It means this: thoughts that I form in my imagination. It also means to conceive. So I must, here, listen to this. I must keep my emotions, my will, and my understanding focused on the Lord so that the imaginations of my mind, watch this, so the imaginations of my mind don't begin to conceive things that are contrary to the Word of God. That is huge. That is huge. You get a bad report from the doctor. Immediately, what happens? Your mind wants to start conceiving things, doesn't it? Conceiving things that are contrary to the Word of God. You just got the report that it's the big C, okay? Cancer, we got a problem here. Now the enemy wants to bring your thoughts, wants to conceive thoughts in your mind. You're already planning your funeral. You're picking out your funeral dress or your funeral suit. You're thinking about your cat. That's where the mind wants to take you. But not the mind that's being controlled by the Word of God. Years ago, I remember when one of our boys were very small then. And I recall I got home late from a church meeting. And our little boy was actually in bed with my wife. And they were sound asleep. And I didn't want to disturb them. So I went over and I laid in his bed. Okay, and so I thought, well, I'll get some form of rest here unless they get up and we can swap then. And I can go to my bed and he can come to his. But I wasn't going to disturb them. But I remember lying in bed that night. I'll never forget this. And I began, because it was a very stressful meeting. It was in another church that I was involved with where there was a lot of turmoil. And nonetheless, it was a very stressful meeting. And I remember lying in bed there. There, didn't want to cough in the microphone. I remember lying in bed there and beginning to get these chest pains. The next thing I know, and I've never had a heart attack to my knowledge, the next thing I know, I began to feel these pains shooting down my arm. And I thought, my mind is going now over to the, I'm having a heart attack. And I'm telling you, it was as plain as day that what was happening, I saw the ambulance coming down our driveway. Thank you. God bless you. I saw the ambulance coming down our driveway, all in my mind's eye. I was fabricating these things, conceiving these things in my mind. All of a sudden, it seemed like the Holy Spirit said, "What are you doing? Bring every thought into the captivity and the lordship of Jesus Christ. Every thought under his obedience, under his covering." And I began to quote the word of God. "No weapon that is formed against me will ever prosper. By his stripes I am healed. By his stripes I was healed. I can set the enemy at flight. I have authority over the enemy. Jesus Christ took my infirmities, my afflictions, my diseases. He took it all. He took my sin." I began to just meditate on the word of God. And then all those thoughts that were conceived, that were contrary to the word, began to diminish. The pain began to leave. Because instead of allowing my mind to conceive evil and things that were contrary to God's word, I brought that mind into subjection to my spirit man that's born again in the likeness of Jesus. Do you realize you can't get any more like Jesus in your spirit than what you are at this moment if you're born again? You cannot become any more like Jesus than what you are in your perfect born again spirit. Your soul can be defiled. Your body can be defiled. We make wrong choices, wrong decisions. We slip. We miss the mark. We sin, etc., etc. But that born again spirit is undefiled. Undefiled. Praise God. So I must keep my emotions, my will, my understanding, so that the imaginations of my mind do not conceive anything contrary to the word of God. You're going to be tempted today to begin to conceive things in your mind that are contrary to the word of God. You're going to hear something, something's going to happen, and it doesn't necessarily have to be tragic or devastating. Someone pulls out in front of you in traffic, you're conceiving things in your mind, and you can either bring that thought into the obedience of the lordship of Jesus Christ and not allow your mouth to create a problem for you. You bring that thought into the obedience of the lordship of Jesus Christ and you bless instead of curse. So when you bless, you're walking in the realms of the kingdom of God. That's going to bring you a realm of peace. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 tells us, "For as a man or as a person thinks in their heart, so are they." So are they. As you think in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, as you imagine in your soul, so are you. So if you deem yourself, which is contrary to the word of God, that you are a failure, you'll never succeed, you'll never amount to anything, and some of you have been perhaps told that, and it's governed and directed, dictated to your life, and you've struggled for year upon year upon year endeavoring to prove that person wrong instead of just simply resting in the peace of God, and say, "Those are all lies. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am more than a conqueror in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am victorious. I am not the victim. I am victorious. Hallelujah. So I must keep my mind from conceiving things that are contrary to the nature of God and the Word of God. Now, James chapter 1, verse 15 says this. The evil desire, from the Amplified Bible, the evil desire or thought or imagination, what's evil? Anything that's contrary to the Word of God. Is worry evil? Yes. Is fear evil? Yes. Anxiety, is it evil? Yes, it's evil. These things are all contrary. Is sickness evil? Yes. Because it's contrary to the good nature of our loving Father who desires to meet all of our needs, whatever they might be. So the evil desire, thought, or imagination, when it has been conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully matured, brings forth death. Now, in case you don't understand this, which I'm being a little cute in a sense, a woman does not get pregnant when she shakes hands with a man. I think we understand that, don't we? We understand that there's an element of intimacy there that must take place for conception to happen. Okay, we're adults. We know how these things work. So therefore, just because you have a wrong thought, a bad thought, that doesn't mean that evil is overtaking your mind. I don't know who it was. It may have been Ruth Graham, Billy Graham's wife. Someone once said, you can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from making a nest in your hair. A huge difference. So therefore, what happens in conception for an evil thought is that you take that evil thought, you meditate on it, you're thinking about it, you're building on it, and now it conceives sin in you. Sin, when it is finished, James says, it brings forth death. Now, please don't think of death just merely as one that ceases to exist. Death is actually either that we cease to exist in this life, or you can actually have a lifestyle of death. I know people who claim to be born again Christians, and I'm not doubting their relationship with Jesus, but their whole life, there's a cloud of death around them. They're filled with worry. They're filled with anxiety. They're filled with bickering and fighting, contending. All these are all realms of death. But that's not where God wants us to live. He wants us to live in the kingdom of God. He wants us to live in that realm of righteousness, where we know who we are in Christ. And I would be safe to say, I did not do a survey, but the majority of Christians still don't understand and know who they are in Christ. I was reading in the book of Acts the other day, and I'm reading, I believe it was in Acts chapter 19, where I think it was Paul that said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you've believed? And they said, we don't even know what this Holy Spirit is. Well, what baptism were you baptized with? Well, we were baptized with the baptism of John, which is a works or repentance type of mentality. And then Paul now prays for them to receive the Holy Spirit. And something hit me at that moment, and I'm thinking, Lord, there has to be a whole lot more to this Spirit-filled life than what I'm experiencing. And I've been blessed in many, many ways, but I'm thinking, there has to be more to this Spirit-filled life. Possessing the power of God to see the dead raised and the lame walk and deafened ears to be opened and blind eyes to see the healing power of Almighty God working through believers, through the church. God, there's got to be more than what I'm experiencing. oppression, depression, poverty, disease, fear, worry, anxiety, all death. And they all begin with conception in the mind. In the mind. So whatever you face, you will either conceive life in your mind or you will conceive death. And so that's why it's extremely important that we cast down every vain imagination. And that will all depend on what your heart or your soul is filled with. Now, I want to refer quickly back to our text where we read in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, the words of Jesus, something that really surprised me. For some reason, I felt drawn to look up that word, life, when Jesus said, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry." The King James Version says, "Take no thought." Do not allow your imagination to conceive something within your mind. Do not worry about your life. I looked up the word life, and I did not expect to find the word, the Greek word that I found. That word life, do not worry about your life. It actually is psuche in the Greek. And psuche is the soul. Do not worry in your soul about all these things. Jesus is simply reiterating the very things that Isaiah the prophet said. Don't allow these conceptions into your life. Don't worry. Don't let false thinking, evil thoughts arise within your mind about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear, or about issues of everyday life. Your heavenly Father, focus there. Let your mind be filled with that. And I tell you, everything else will be taken care of. Everything else will be taken care of. So what do you think about throughout the day? What do you meditate on? What are you feeling your soul with, your thoughts, your mind? What's most important to you? Where are your priorities? Jesus is saying, do not allow worry to conceive thoughts of death in your mind. You get the negative report. Immediately, the enemy wants to take you over into a realm that's contrary to the word. You will either choose life or you will choose death. The wisdom of this world will lead you to death. James tells us that the wisdom of this world is sensual, it's devilish, demonic. Sensual means of the senses. We live to please the senses. But it's not spiritual. It's not spiritual. I wrap that up with saying this. The other day, I was watching probably a news channel. That's pretty much what I watch. It's either a news channel or an old movie I watch with my wife. Other than that, there's probably not a whole lot else that's good on TV. And even in many ways, the news is such a downer anymore. But I happened to be watching a news broadcast, and they showed a clip from and I don't know what it was all about, but they showed a clip from one of the late night shows, and the talk show host said, "Hey, how many are going to see 50 Shades of Grey?" And the crowd cheered and yelled. I don't know a whole lot about 50 Shades of Grey, but what I'm reading, what I'm understanding, is nothing but pornography. And yet Christians by the thousands will stand in line, pay the money that God has blessed them with to go in and fill their hearts with lust. Yeah, that went about over the same way in our church when I talked about it. But it's absolutely true, is it not? That's the wisdom of this world. Listen, these people were cheering over the fact that they're going to watch a porno flick. They just put an R rating on it, so it's now more acceptable. We would never think about going to see an X-rated movie, but if they put an R rating on it, we can go see that. And I'm not condemning anyone, and I'm not browbeating anyone, and I'm not on a soapbox. I'm just saying, what are we filling our minds with? What are we filling our thoughts with? And there was a day, I know when I was a kid, if you had a porno magazine, you weren't waving it before. You were hiding that thing because you didn't want anybody to know you had it. You were ashamed. Not today. If you don't have your own porno app on your telephone, you're not cool. You're not cool. I think of an Alabama judge who defies a court order to legalize gay marriage. And he's branded as a hater. He's branded as a homophobe. People endeavoring to remove him from office. It's the wisdom of this world. Sensual. Devilish. Our president recently compared the Crusades, the Christian Crusades, to the terror of ISIS. And he said many atrocities were done in the name of Christ in the Christian Crusades. And he's absolutely correct. Many atrocities were done. I researched it just a bit, and it appears that between 1 million and nearly 2 million Muslims and Jews were murdered during the Christian Crusades, all in the name of Christ. But what our dear president didn't understand is that is the fruit of religion, not Christianity. Religion has murdered, maimed, raped, tortured in the name of Christ, ruined lives in the name of Christ. Christians, people who love Jesus, they do not destroy people's lives that do not agree with them. The wisdom of this world, it's sensual and devilish. Listen to me. When you can find that place of peace and you're filling your mind with the truth of God's word, you find that place of peace in your life. Joy. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. When you find that realm of peace, joy will automatically overtake you. It will automatically overtake you. But it all starts with knowing who you are in Christ. Knowing that you are, listen, you are righteous. You are righteous if you're in Jesus. The enemy wants to tell you differently, but the word of God tells me you're righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Can you receive that today? God's blessing on you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Pastor.